تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, the one who gave us life, our nourisher, the one who provides for us, our sustainer, and the one who has guided us through the beautiful deen of Islam via his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his prestigious, his noble messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and upon his purified and noble family, and upon the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, we gather today to strengthen our bonds, to reinforce the beautiful and divine message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our hearts and our minds, and to find the guidance of following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to instill purpose and conviction within our hearts and our minds, and to enable us to remain steadfast on the path of Islam so that we can find success in this dunya and salvation in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering, accept our sincere intentions, and make this day a means for our success. Ameen, thumma ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful life. But we all know that life here on earth is very, very limited. It is finite. And some of us are blessed with 80 years to 100 years. Very few are blessed with 100 plus. And the majority are between 40 and 60, if not slightly more. So life is very, very short in comparison to the infinity that waits us all in Jannatul Firdaus, when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the real life is actually the life when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order for us to enter into that garden, to enter into that life of bliss and tranquility and peace and serenity, of success and enjoyment and ease, then we need to make sure that we pass the test of life here on earth. And we score to the best of our abilities, so that when we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our marks are counted and the examination papers are assessed and marked, then we will be eligible to enter into the gardens of paradise. So the 40 or 50 or 60 years that you have, if you dedicate your life in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in preparing for your return back to the infinite bliss of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those are the true people who are successful. But those people who waste their time and their life and their energies and their efforts in the pursuit, in the idle pursuits of the dunya, then assuredly they will fail in this dunya, and more importantly, they will fail in the hereafter. So the question truly is, but how can we actually achieve the highest scores, the highest marks, and to get into the highest of heavens, and to be close to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? And the answer is very, very simple. It's very comprehensive. It's very holistic. It's all encompassing. Nevertheless, it is one simple thing that you need to do and to maintain and to improve throughout your life. And if you can achieve this, then you will be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. You'll be able to have the companionship of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the simple answer is by achieving and emulating and copying the beautiful characteristics and traits of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is what life is about. about copying the best of creations in order to return back to the best of creation, which is Jannatul Firdaus, amongst the best of creations, the Sahaba Ikram, the Siddiqeen, the Nabiyeen, the Salihin, the Shuhada, and the Awliya. This is what we need to do. And if you remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Khaliq, and we are the makhluq, we are the created beings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we need to do is to copy the beautiful characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty, which is to imbibe all of those characteristics within our lives, and to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be forgiving and forbearing. And no other being did this the best than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So whilst we might think that an abundant amount of wealth or charity or an abundant amount of excessive worship may benefit us or will give us the highest of marks on the day of Qiyamah, the character that you have and the refinement of your character will outweigh most of your deeds on the day of Qiyamah. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was sat with his companions, and he asked them, and he said, "Shall I tell you about the most beloved action to me, or the most beloved one to me?" And he repeated this not once, not twice, but three times, thrice. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the companion said, "But of course, Ya Rasulullah, please inform us who is the most beloved to you, and what is the most beloved action and dear to you, because those things which are beloved and dear to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, without a doubt, are those actions which are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said that those with the best character, those with the best character are those people who will be the closest to me in assembly and in my assembly on the day of Qiyamah, those who have the best character. And in this day and age, when we remember somebody, how do we remember somebody? The human eye is very perceptive, so is the human ear, is very, very perceptive. And we intuit and we look at things very, very carefully and perceive things all the time. The smallest of smiles, or the hesitation in your voice, or the flinch of your lips, or anything else, the tone and the pitch, all of these things, the human eye and the human ear hears and processes these things and realizes this is good or this is bad, this is acceptable, this is unacceptable. So whenever you remember somebody, especially those people who are alive, and those people who pass away, you don't remember the clothes they used to wear, you don't remember the car that they used to drive, you don't remember the house that they used to live in, you don't remember any of these arbitrary things, but rather what you do remember about that individual who is no longer with you, perhaps whether physically or returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you do remember about them and what your heart contains in terms of memories for them is their character, is their akhlaq, is how they treated you, is how they sat with you, is how they dined with you, is how they spoke with you, is how they gave their attention to you. You remember their characteristics and how they made you feel, and those emotions connect you very, very closely to that individual. So this is the most important thing to leave behind in terms of legacy, is how people remember those who have returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those people who will be attending the janazah here today for marhum Nasir Puri Sahib, they may have a huge amount of memories in relation to them, but the most important memories that they will have is his smile or his character, how he used to treat them, how he used to greet them, how he used to meet them, how he used to go out of his way, and how he's constantly on the go. They'll remember his character, and due to his character, they will give testimony and shahada, and they will be beseeching and imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him because of his character, not because of his other things, but due to his character, because he touched their hearts. And this is a very important thing for us to remember, that in this world where we have over 7.7 billion people here on earth, and everybody is trying to outshine another person by the clothes that they wear and the cars that they have and the mobile phones and all of these other things, you're trying to stand out. But the real way of standing out in the dunya, and more importantly, the real way for you to stand out on the day of Qiyamah, is with your akhlaq. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, as I mentioned, says that those who will be closest to me on the assembly on the day of Qiyamah are those people who will have the best of character. So this is a very, very important aspect for us to understand and for us to realize that whilst the dunya, whilst the world has exceeded in the technological advances, has exceeded in medicine, has exceeded in so many other subjects and areas and fields. The one place they have not been able to touch or exceed is in their akhlaq, is in their khuluq, is in their ruwayya, is in their how they carry themselves and how they behave with other people. You will see people who are presidents of country, you'll see people who are running councils and running other things, and they may have the power, they may have the wealth, they may have the influence, but when you look at their character, you see them as despicable people, as people who you can't even talk to, can't even engage with, can't even reason with, because they don't have good character. So the wealth is not the wealth and then the accumulation of the wealth of the dunya, it's not the accumulation of the fame of the dunya or the izzah of the dunya, but true wealth is in your character. This is how you will be judged. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the heaviest thing that will be placed in your scales on the day of Qiyamah. He didn't mention Hajj, he didn't mention Sawm, he didn't mention Zakat, he didn't mention Sadaqah, he didn't mention any of these things. He said, the heaviest thing that will be placed in your scales on the day of Qiyamah will be your character. Will be your character. And this is something that we are lacking in this day and age. How we engage with people, how we make them feel welcome, how we respect them and honor them, how we are patient and forbearing and compassionate. All of these things are contained within the beautiful life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to advance as a nation, as a community, as an individual, and if you want to raise yourself a new maqam, you can only achieve that when you emulate and copy and follow the beautiful character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For he alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to perfect good manners and to perfect good deeds, to do the best thing in the best manner, in the best way, to the best of your abilities. We have the ability to be far greater and exceed our potential, be greater than the angels and all of the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do you achieve that? You achieve that with your khuluq, because the Khaliq is the one who has created you and he has placed that khuluq within you, and you are the one that needs to bring that good khuluq from within you and make sure that you demonstrate that to those people that are around you. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you are an exemplary, you possess an absolutely exemplary, unparalleled character. Not just any khuluq, not just any characteristics, but the greatest of characteristics. Why? Because he has been taught by the great, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as a nation, we as a ummah, have been taught by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in spite of having the best of prophets, the best of messengers, the best of books, the best of sunnah, the best of hidayah, and the best of akhlaq, how can it not be that we cannot be the best of insan, the best of humanity, the khayrun nas, the ahabbun nas, the ahsanun nas? How can we not be the best when we have all of these things placed with us, given to us, gifted to us by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was once asked about the beautiful characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she replied, have you not read the Quran? They're asking about the character of the Messenger. How was he? What was he like within the home, outside? Agir Pichir, how was he like? And she simply replied, have you not read the Qur'an? And one might think, what's the Qur'an got to do with the character? But it has everything to do with the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Because she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his character was the Qur'an. He took all of the commands, the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how to deal with people, and he embodied them and he allowed people to see the beauty of the Quran. She mentions him as he was the living example of the Quran. He was the walking, talking Quran. You know, when you see people, we see them and we see the way that they speak. We see that the way that they behave. We see how their face and their expressions, all of these things, our minds, our eyes, our ears are finely tuned to all of these things. And based on how they treat you, then you will make up your own judgment on whether you want to speak to them next time or not, whether you will evade them in the next meeting or not, whether you will give them any due respect or not, based on how they behaved with you. It doesn't matter whether they are wealthy, whether they are poor, what clothes they are wearing, Versace or Gucci or anything else, or what car they have. And none of these things matter innately to the human being. What matters is how they have treated you. And this is an important factor for us to remind ourselves on how we carry ourselves and how we embody the beautiful characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the question might be that, well, the Quran is a book, it is a speech, it is a kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you physically translate the Quran into the living embodiment of an individual? And we will see how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated the beautiful principles of the Quran. He was an affectionate and he was a merciful individual, not just with all of those that were around him, but most importantly with his wives, with his children. And this is where true character is. If you want to find out the reality of an individual, don't go and ask their friends. Don't even go and ask their teachers. Don't even go and ask their colleagues. If you want to find the reality of who an individual is, what their true character is, go and ask his wife. Go and ask his daughter or his son or the mother or the father, and they will tell you his reality, what he truly is like. So therefore, true character begins at home. That true mercy, that affection, that compassion, that love must start within the home, must start with your immediate family members. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً. That from one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created you from yourself, spouses. You have been created for each other, from one another, so that you may find tranquility within your spouses. And He placed in that relationship abundant affection and mercy. And when you see the life of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the most compassionate, most forbearing and loving towards his wives. And he treated them with respect and with dignity. He took their advice on board. He used to do shura with them and he used to take counsel with them. Not say, who are you? Tu badi hai hai, tu dasvi nahi pass, you haven't even graduated and you haven't done your metric, then ye nahi pata, o nahi pata. He never judged his wife for their background or for their education. He treated them with due respect and honor and dignity. And because of that, you can see how he is the living example of the Quran. And he lived with his wife with complete peace and tranquility within his home. He never found them fighting and arguing and debating. He was there as an individual to place sukoon within his own life and the lives of his wives as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore mentioned, and he placed amongst you affection and mercy. And this is how he was seen, that he would stand up for his wives. He would lay his head in the lap of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would go to his wife Sayyidina Khadijatul Kubra and say, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. He would find refuge and peace and tranquility within his wives. Whereas in this day and age, we run away from our wives, we run away from our children. Chor, the fucker, you're giving me a headache, you're constantly on the go, give me a break. This is what we're saying. The opposite of the embodiment of all of the principles of the Quran, where you see the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam physically demonstrating all of these beautiful characteristics of being affectionate, of being merciful, of treating each other with equality and respect and with honor. And until we do not carry these beautiful characteristics, then we will never succeed and never become the best of humanity. And he was kind and he was humble with all of his community members, not just for his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. That do good to your parents. Character is not just reserved for your loved ones. You know, when you see somebody that you like or somebody that you respect, you give them a big smile. You know, you say, Ajoji gale lagao and millo julo and everything. You do all of these things. Why do you reserve the best of character that you have for only a select amount of people? No, the best of character should be and must be shared out to all of those that are around you. Every single individual life that you come into contact with, this is the goodness that you must share with your parents, with all of your relatives, especially those relatives that don't like you and think, bada fulana, aya ye, wo hai, fulana. No, even them. you smile, you hug, you show love and respect and honor, and you stand up for them. You may have differences with your chacha or your puppu and all of these rishte, zameen kabza karge, kothi gila gaya, paise ye wo. But no, whenever you meet them, you still stand up for them. You still hug them. You still smile and you show them the beautiful characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he was there for the needy. He was there for his neighbors, for his Muslim and non-Muslim neighbors, for those that were near and those that were far, for his companions, all of those people that were around him, and especially for the slaves at that time. He would find every opportunity to teach people how to treat them with dignity, with honor and respect. And if they had committed a sin, go and free that slave to wash away your sins, or treat him with respect and help him and guide him as well in that particular way. This is the beautiful character of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He was kind, he was humble with all members of community. But if you compare yourself, we are kind and humble to our Muslim brothers and sisters. When they come to the masjid, Gigi and Hug and everything, when we're out there, O Kala, O Chitta, O Flana, Dimkana, and this and that, and then we just stay away from them. We don't even smile at these people. Why? Is this what our deen teaches us? Is this what the Quran teaches us? Is this what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam ever did in his life? No. He shared it with everybody. Love for all of humanity. He was honest. He was upright. And he was the one who was fulfilling all of his promises. And he remained steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us, وَالَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِأَحَدٍ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That those who fulfill their promises when they promise. You know, when we have learned then with each other, we say, chalo, theek hai, yaar, you trust me, I trust you, tu bhi musliman hai, main bhi musliman hai, theek hai, come on, just you know such and such person. But when it comes to non-Muslims, we always try to find loopholes and ways to get out of our promises and pledges. We try to evade our tax man as much as possible, make ourselves limited, make ourselves self-employed, make ourselves this, that, find all of the loopholes to get away from the tax man. Why are you breaking your covenant and your pledge and your oath that you've made to live here in this country as a citizen? You have a duty to fulfill your covenants and your promises. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا. You'll be asked about all of your promises. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say only your promises to Muslims, only your promises to your family members. No. Every single promise that you have made, every contract, every pledge, you will be questioned about those things. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, with his character, he remained honest and upright throughout his life. As-Sadiq. So this is how he was described. As-Sadiq al-Wa'dul Amin. The one who always maintained his honesty and his integrity. Always fulfilled his promises and his pledges. This is how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam embodied all of the principles of the Qur'an. And this is why Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say he was the living Qur'an. That you would not find any contradiction between the Qur'an and between the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Whereas we have the Qur'an today here in our right hand, we have the Sunnah in our left hand, but we're neither in the middle. We're 10,000 miles away from the Qur'an. Our Qur'ans are on the highest place within our homes. Nobody's got time to pick them up and dust off any of them and read them. Nobody's got time for Sahih al-Bukhari or anything else. Let's go and read the Sunnah. Bukhari, over 9,000 ahadith were all about the sublime character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And until we do not embody that, then we'll not be successful in this dunya or in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this, through this book, the book of the Quran and the book of the Sunnah, Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, la yarfa'u bihadha al-kitabi aqwaman. With this book, i.e. the Quran and Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise this nation. And look at how we raised our nation with the khilaf of Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and all of the great Sahaba and illustrious Sahaba Ikram, how they raised the maqam and the mention of our deen. But as soon as we went away from the Quran and Sunnah, where are we now? Because we went away from the Quran and Sunnah. We went away from the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who would never hurt the feelings of those people, especially those people that he had helped. You know, when somebody wrongs you, and you say, Tarja, next time I'll sort you out. We're always looking for a vendetta, we're looking for retribution, we're looking to get our way back, we're looking for vengeance. Or at least we say, well, once bitten, twice shy, I'm not going to come near you again. But no, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he would do something good, then he would never return back with an evil. Even though they may spit in his face, or they may shout and swear and do all of these things. No, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam always maintained his character. But we are very, very quick and flippant to flip on the other side and say, well, that's it, I'm not going to treat you with this respect again. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there in the Quran, those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not follow up their gifts with reminders that, remember, I did this for you, and I did this for you, and I did that for you. No. As they say, neki kar, darya mein dal. This is how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam lived his life. And this is how we need to live a life of ihsan, a life of doing good and forgetting whatever people may do in response to us and our deeds. He was graciously patient. He was enduring all circumstances without complaint. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Remember when he went to Taif and how he was treated. Remember how the angels were sent to him, the angels of the mountain, that I will crush this entire city between these two mountains. He said, no, this is not how I have been sent. I have been sent as a mercy unto humanity. Every single difficulty and trial and tribulation, he rose above that and he showed his beautiful characteristics. But when something difficult happens to us, we start screaming and shouting and spewing hatred and anger, because we are not in control, because we have not refined our character. Have you ever asked yourself how a diamond is formed? For those people who understand geology and understand these things, how is a diamond formed? A diamond is formed under intense and extreme pressure. Extreme pressure of the earth and extreme heat from the earth, which make a diamond what it is. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was put under so much pressure. So much pressure, so much heat during his lifetime. But in spite of that, he shone far brighter than all of the stars in the universe. He showed his true inner beauty. And this is what we need to do as well. That yes, you will have far-right extremists. Yes, you will have Islamophobia. Yes, you will have difficulty. Yes, you will have sickness. Yes, you will have all of these trials and tribulations. But be like the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who would smile in front of all of these things and say, the one who gave me all of these things is the one who will remove all of these things as well. Turn to your Lord, bow down to your Lord, submit to your Lord, and see how all of these difficulties are removed within your life. He was the most honest, he was the most trustworthy, and unbiased as well. How much bias and discrimination and prejudice do we have as individuals? Until you have all of these negative traits and characteristics within your heart and within your mind, you will never be truly able to be like the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to refine yourself, you have to change yourself, you have to overcome all of these things and these biases in your life in order for you to be truly worthy of reaching that maqam and having that company of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And this is why, as I mentioned at the beginning, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, the heaviest of deeds that will be placed in your scale will be your khuluq. And those people nearest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those people of greatest khuluq and greatest akhlaq. This is why, because it's a very, very difficult and treacherous road in our life to overcome all of these things. But only when you respond evil with good, only when you carry the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and you be lenient and you be compassionate and you be merciful. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If the Prophet ﷺ was horrible, detestable to all of those that were around him, nobody would come and approach him. Because of his demeanor, of his beauty, of his smile, of his welcoming, people came to Islam and they accepted Islam because of the beauty of Islam. And this is what we need to remind ourselves, that we have been created beautifully. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. In the best of manners and fashions. And therefore, if Allah has created us in the best manner and fashion, why do we not reflect the best of characters, which is the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? So reconcile with your brothers and sisters. Never ridicule your brothers and sisters and non-Muslim. La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. Never do that. This is not our way. See the best in other people. Don't judge other people. Don't end up backbiting and gossiping and spying on other people. No discrimination or racism within our religion. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Azizun alayhi ma anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'minina raufur rahim. This is how he was. Always concerned for the affairs and the well-being of those people that were around him. He, the best people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentioned, are those who are the most beneficial to mankind. He mentioned the best amongst you is one who learns the Qur'an and teaches the Qur'an. The best of you in Islam is the one who is the best in the character. The best of you in this dunya is the one who is the best to his wife. The best of you are those who pay off their debts in the best of manners. And the best and the heaviest of deeds on your scales will be your good character. So don't just think this is an arbitrary thing and I want to be the best in the dunya, in my field, with my wealth and with my degrees and all of these things. No, be the best in your character and you will see success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to become the best.